We call now on Randy Cohen, one of our All Things Considered regulars. He writes the Ethicist column for the New York Times Magazine. He's here to help our listeners sort out their lives. Hello, Randy.
Hi, Debbie.
Our letter today comes from listener Robert Callahan in Houston, Texas. He writes, "A little less than a year ago, I graduated from the University of Texas with an architecture degree. At the time, the economy was very bad. I searched for a job in Austin, but like almost all my classmates, I was eventually forced to make other plans. Eventually, my grandfather intervened. He asked my older cousin, sales manager for the Tulsa office of a manufacturing company, if he would give me a job. He said yes, made a few calls, and I was offered a low-paying, monotonous, non-architecture job that would allow me to move out on my own and scrape by." Robert Callahan goes on to write, "The one caveat of my acceptance was that I would remain in the post for a minimum period of time, 1 to 2 years. I assured my grandfather, my new boss, and by extension my cousin, that I would do so. I have stopped looking for a new and better job and slipped into a depressive state. I never imagined I could feel so defeated by something, but with each passing day I grow more desperate and unhappy." He writes, "I have concealed my unhappiness from my family and co-workers. I struggle every day to keep it to myself. Other architects and people in the industry have reached out to me, not offering me a job per se, but giving me different connections and resources to look for one. They seemed baffled by my promise and my adherence to it. I worked very hard for my degree. It is my life's ambition. I don't want to realize 2 years from now that getting a job in my field is only harder or nearly impossible. What is my ethical obligation?" Randy, what's your advice?
I think the first thing Robert should do is not keep this a secret from his grandfather and his cousin. Those folks are his family, and they should care about his well-being. And if he confides in them, there's a chance that they can improve his working conditions or even release him from this promise. But if that fails, I think Robert should leave. A promise is not a suicide pact. And there are certain things that no one can promise. You can't meaningfully promise, "I will love you forever, I will always enjoy this job." And that while Robert may have said promise, it really sounds like what he meant was, "I will make a good faith effort to do the job well and stay as long as I can." No one can promise more than that. And that a kind of imprecision of language shouldn't be the wheel on which his cousin breaks his Robert's spirit. That's not ethics. That's just literalism. It ignores the intent of his pledge, and it ignores its true meaning and the limits of human ability.
And we have Robert Callahan on the line now. Robert, what did you think of Randy's advice?
Well, I'm glad to hear that. Since I sent the letter, the more I've thought about it, the more I've kind of come around to that same way of thinking. And actually this week I was contacted sort of independently by a number of architecture firms that I interviewed with previously, and I have begun the process of interviewing with them. I guess I just kind of had a visceral reaction. We're taught to keep our word, and even though intellectually I knew that I had a responsibility to myself and to my own life, I felt a certain sense of guilt.
So is it important for you to keep your word, though?
Yes, absolutely. That's a fine idea. But it's also important to have a more nuanced understanding of what it is to give your word, what a person can and can't promise, and not to be overly literal, to know when we're agreeing with one another about what our intentions are, what we really mean. Do we really mean, I will continue to work at this job even while the factory is on fire, you know, and while dogs are gnawing at my leg and that saw that you never put a guard on is cutting off my hand? I don't think so. I think what was really meant here was, I will make a genuinely good faith effort to work well and to keep this job for a couple of years. And I think that's all you can ask anyone to do.
So, Robert, do you think you'll be able to talk to your family about this problem?
I do, yeah. I've also kind of begun that process, too, hinting that that I am unhappy and that I might be seeking some other form of employment.
What kind of reaction have you been getting from them?
Not as bad as maybe I expected. I guess maybe I kind of had built this up in my own head more than anyone else had. So, yeah.
I think what Debbie's getting at is really important, that hinting is maybe not the best approach, that there's something to be said for directness here, that they can't alleviate your misfortune or allow you to leave if they don't have a real understanding of how you feel and what you want. And they're your family. You should speak to them.
Right. I think so, too.
Well, good luck, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you both very much.
Well, if you've got a question for the ethicist, drop us a line at watc@npr.org. Please put the word ethics in the subject line, and please give us a phone number where we can reach you. Randy and Robert, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Debbie. I promise to be here next time.